Welcome back. You have entered or re-entered the House of Neshama, hosted by myself, Aria Rachel.
And me, Isa Visa.
So, what are we doing here? The House of Neshama podcast is a place where we muse over Jewish culture, rituals, and humor.
Kvetch about the complications about our Jewish identities.
And certainly lots of that in this episode. And we do so in hopes of sparking necessary conversations and reflections with other Jews across the diaspora.
In other words, you can consider this podcast the matzo ball soup for the wandering Jewish soul.
Shalom, Isa. Happy Wednesday.
We are at Wednesday. It is actually sunny out because last time it was dark.
Yes.
But I am so happy to be back. How was your Passover?
It was good. It was interesting. I'm excited that we'll have this post-Pesach moment to take a beat to reflect on it, even though it's been a couple weeks. But yeah. And for you?
It was good. It was like chaotically good.
Yes.
But it was really great. And I was with a lot of family, so, and you were too, but I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was just good to be back. And then, you know, it was a chaotic series of events to get there.
But of course.
Eventually I made it there. And the next day I actually had to, I flew out to Palm Springs for Coachella.
So crazy. Wild, amazing. Yeah.
But, you know, I took 6 trains in total in a 5-hour period.
That's wild. Wait, and also you were literally in a desert.
Oh, yeah, I was. I did.
So, actually, this is very Jewish. Yeah, you literally took a journey of all kinds and ended up in a desert. So, it was very on brand.
Yeah. You know, it was a journey. And I think, like, the theme of this year is just, like just going with things and then hoping for the best, but also, like... You know, appreciating the little things that you get in when it happens, like along
right.
the way. And then
yeah.
also, you know, that like something is going to happen at the end, but it might not be what you expect it to be. It might be like the little
totally.
People you meet along the way. One of the most important things, like kind of what happened actually before I got there was I got lost on the I came from Brooklyn and I had to make it all the way up the Upper West Side to my cousin's house.
What a trek. Yeah.
And yeah, as you know, it's like Brooklyn's far away.
It's another country, I swear.
It is. And somehow I'm like, I'm going to commute from another country to the Upper
Amen.
West Side.
Dayenu.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this because like I'm like in my head, and this is like a common theme with me, I'm like, I can yeah. do this. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I need a little help. And then I'm like, no, it's okay. And then I'm like, so I'm like, I get on the train, and I'm getting on the J train, right? From Bushwick. And
yeah.
My phone dies right in the middle.
As it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, as it goes. It happens a lot with me. But I swear to God it was charged. Okay. It loses charge really fast.
Yeah.
You start the day with it charged. And I was like, okay, you know, I don't know the exact direction, you know, the exact directions, but I think if I try hard enough, I can just make it work. Like, I can just ask people and, like, you know, because I am a New Yorker. I can still pull that.
Right. So and vibes. It's
yeah.
vibes.
Yeah. And so I get there and I'm, you know, subway. I'm trying to figure out how to get from, you know, Times Square to the west side of the Upper West Side, you know, just towards the river. And
yeah.
people, and I'm just, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, I have no phone. My shoe is kind of broken. like I'm gonna have to I'm like you know trying a couple different place you know
right
look at maps and stuff I'm like okay God like I usually never call on God right but I'm like okay like I just like I'm gonna find a way just like help me a little bit or like whatever
it was literally it was like dear God it's me Isa
yeah.
are you there listening
yeah you know what like... I fucked up I messed up
yeah
and so when I say this I when I think about this I'm like not calling on them like to be like okay like this is gonna, please just fix this for me. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna work with whatever is thrown my way. And luckily there's opportunities, there's people
wherever the cards that I can work fall. With.
So so it leads me to like finding someone who tells me to take the queue. And then I find the one, and I'm like, okay, got on the one, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't have the address now. Now I have to go find the actual, like, building. And, you know, that's like a needle in a haystack, trying to find a single apartment where I am. I'm like, okay. So, like, my phone said, so I'm like, I see a bodega, and I'm like, hey, like, can I please, like, charge my phone?
Please.
And he's like, oh, I don't know, like, and his name, I think it was, like, Sam or something, but it definitely was not. I don't think it was actually Sam, but I don't know.
It might be Sam.
He was, like, talking to me. We got in conversation about Southeast Asia and stuff, because I don't know where he was from, but I think he was from, like, Indonesia or something.
Okay.
And so while my phone was charging, because he was like, yes, you can. And then he gave me a bottle of water. And then I tried to leave. Yeah, then I was like, oh, you know what? I actually have to go. Like, I have to go. He was like, no, you should stay.
I have places to be. You're like, it's pays off.
Yeah, I was like
I have a theater waiting for me. Right, because everyone was waiting for you.
Everybody was waiting for me.
Oh, my God.
And I can only picture oh, my God, Issa's late again.
Gotta make whole appearance. You gotta really make it count. That if you're going to be late, like, you had to make it, like, a show, you know?
Yeah, so it's always, you know, fashionably late, but also, like, at this point, it's not fashionably late anymore. It's like, you know, I'm probably 35 minutes late. It's
disrespectfully 40. Late.
My cousins are more like my aunt, like, and her sister, and then her son. So, like, I call them cousins. So, anyway, and so so she was like, it was like our first mock Seder. And it ended up being a real Seder. So when I got
thankfully
up, yeah, but before that happened, I had, you know, I had to find my way up
the Upper West
apartment
side.
And it turned out the apartment yes. was right at the bodega, right, who's holding me hostage, kind of, like, he's friendly, you know,
he just liked you so much,
yeah, and he's like, I see a doorman, and I was like, I'm gonna go ask the doorman, and he said the exact numbers that the address was, and it turns out it was, like, right, it was, like, two apartment buildings, like, up from the bodega, and up the street, and I was
that's
like,
the best,
you know,
part.
I tell the buddy, I'm like, hey, I have to go, and then he's like, okay, he was like, okay, call.
So
he was
long,
like, so look, I was like, I'll come back, and I was like, I never came back. I'm sorry, I did come back, I but it was closed by the time I left.
Of course,
because, you know, and I was like 1 a.m. or something. But oof. I ended up going into the building, you know. You have to, like, telling the doorman, hey, at the concierge, hey, so my aunt's throwing Passover. If I don't go upstairs soon, like she will kill me. And he was like, oh, no, I totally get that. Like, what's her name?
Oh, my God. No, but like, she'll sacrifice me. Like,
yeah. I was like, okay. And he was, like, super nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, he called up he was like, yeah, you have someone, you have Issa, like, coming up to you. He's like, okay. And then he told me, send her in or whatever, you know. And then I went upstairs to the floor, and I could just hear, like, I forgot to ask the apartment number, and I was like, okay.
No.
So, but I just heard voices, and I, you know, I heard voices, and you know, it was just my, you know, loud Jewish relatives, just, you know.
Yeah. No, but it was your intuition at that point. It was like Jewish energy had to guide you to find them.
Yeah, but it was also, it was good to know that they were having fun. Like, they weren't, like, you know, I was, like, upset. Lost, but, like, you know, I was like, okay, thank God they're having fun, because, like, I might be dead, like, I might, you know, might be my blood on the
yeah,
plate.
Oh, no!
But, yeah, no, I walked in with the water bottle and, like, whatever, and they were, like, joking that I was, like, being flirted with by the bodega, and it was all good, it was, you know... It was a great night. It was just good to see them, and food was really good. But we did have to kind of rush through the Seder a little bit, because, like, I was late.
And everyone was getting antsy.
Everybody was getting
impatient.
Hangry.
Oh, my God.
Angry.
A bunch of hangry Jews. Wouldn't recommend.
So, I was wondering, how has this Passover differed from previous Passovers?
One of the main questions that we will ask on this episode, this mini-sode today.
Yeah, and we're young at heart. I know we ask ourselves these questions. I know this year has been a big year for you, right?
It was a big year. Thank you. I would say this year, I mean, we've hosted, like my family, my immediate family, we've hosted Passover before. But I just feel like I will admit on the record, I took it for granted. And I think I also took it for granted when other people would host. Like, I never actually knew how much goes into, you know, the food and, like, the food alone. It's like, who is prepping? Who's buying it? All the special ways that, you know, not every grocery store is going to have what you need. And it's just, there's a lot that goes into it. And also a Haggadah, like, I never knew. They were always there. I, like, didn't know that you have to either buy them, someone just gives them to you, or you make one. So I decided, my sister nominated me as, I think, our, like, in-house, you know,
family rabbi. I nominated rabbi. You as tribute. I volunteered tribute.
Yeah, I think I volunteered myself, but yes, she kind of was, our running joke was like, oh, now we have, the in-family rabbi. And I'm like, wow, I mean, I'm nowhere near close to the level of, like, what that actually looks like. But I think just the fact that, yeah, like, what was really awesome was I used this site. I feel like this is going to sound like such a plug, but I fully recommend them. It's called Haggadot.com. I think we'll
if you give us money, we don't mind.
we really don't mind. And I'm about to give a raving review because they have so many different just, like, Haggadahs to choose from, like, a humor one that had Curb Your Enthusiasm, Seinfeld type stuff.
I love that.
Oh, and also, like, a Schitt's Creek Seder completely. Just with Schitt's Creek, like, with Moira, like, Moira at the end. Yes. Moira. There's also, you know, ones that are more social justice lens and maybe more religious. There's a whole spectrum. But you literally, like, I started just customizing, like, taking the readings that felt right to my, you know, my specific family. You know, it's not just my immediate family. It's like, it's also my uncle and, you know, and their side of the family. And also we were planning for, like, people who, you know, like, interfaith couples and a baby. We have, like, a wide range of ages, religious background. You know, there were so many things to keep in mind. And I was up for the challenge, you know, of, like, piecing together what that Seder should actually look like. So I was helping to lead it as well, which was a big deal. I never had that responsibility before.
A woman.
Yes.
Neshama.
My neshama was glowing, everyone. Yes. From inside out. And I don't even think people, you know, maybe it was one of those things where I don't know if everyone realized how much it meant to me. I think that we were, you know, taking on certain rituals that in the past maybe we didn't, or we would, like, rush through. And the fact that I was able to, you know, put in a little bit more, like, spirituality into some of the readings and also still have it be fun and interactive for, mm-hmm. like, a baby, you know? The attention span of a baby is something to consider.
yet it still didn't have, I mean, did it have Take Me Out to the Ball Game version of, like, the song? Because I've seen that a couple times, but
so, wait, which one? We actually didn't do that. We didn't do, oh, I forget which part of the Seder that one's in, but what we did do for the four questions, we always
did. Yeah, there's been to a Seder like that. Like,
yeah. Oh, I know. We did too. We've all been there. Well, if you're Reform, I feel like a lot of Reform Jews listening would, like, resonate that there's always some variation. And for us, there was a mix, you know. I think that, like, for instance, for the four questions, we would have the Manishtana, which the youngest was a baby that couldn't speak, really. So I had
So who did it? Oh, yeah, the one leading the service. And
you're doing a lot here. But, yeah, but then we had an English four questions that actually was in the style of Dr. Seuss. And everyone started getting into it. And actually, my parents, they just loved, they missed reading Dr. Seuss, so they really got, they took over that, you know, that section. And that was cool. It was like, there were just, like, different songs we were able to put in. And I think at the end of the day, it's about, like, if people, and we talked about this, if people understand the core of what's going on. Like, you're getting into the core of, like, the Exodus story and the meaning of why we're all gathered, then I think if you need different approaches to help make it accessible, then I think you're doing it right. I think you're in the spirit of what is Jewish. But I think that me and you's concern, right? And you could have, I'd love for you to add to this.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know, when people can't even know what it was originally supposed to be, all they know, I mean, yeah, like, what's your take on that?
I mean, well, first, before that, like, I do agree that, like, I feel like everybody likes their specific part of the Seder. You know, some people love the food, some people love the story, some people love the rituals, some people love, you know, the banter in between. And, like, I think whatever can make you, it's like, that's why it's kind of like, you know, there's a leader, right? But there's, like, you know, different parts of the team that make
it. And people that participate.
Come together. And I mean, for me, like, I think that's really a part of it. Like, again, like, the family, the mishpacha and the mishpacha, like, right, your extended family, people who are non-Jewish, like, they have parts they play. And for, you know, for me personally, the story is really important. Like you said, the Exodus, keeping things, you know, relevant to what's going on. Exactly.
Like in the story and also, like, today, do you mean?
Yeah, today, like, you know, with genocides and everywhere. Yeah. There's modern-day slavery and...
Yeah.
But also paying respects to, like, you know, who we have lost and who, you know, the people, you know, the Jews that were enslaved then, and respecting,
of course,
what they went through. And then also, like, kind of like, I mean, no one's all knowing. So really questioning, right? Like, being the kid. I think even though there's, you know, one person who's the, you know, the youngest child, right, who's asking the questions, I feel like everyone has that kid. Like, everyone should look at a Seder as
a child. I love that.
Yeah, and, like, ooh, even the and, like, sometimes you have kids, and then the kids, you have the non-Jews who come, and the people who have no idea what's going on, and they can learn, right? And then you kind of, like, at that Seder, you're kind of, like, not only, like, breaking bread, but, like, also just, like, learning.
Oh, breaking matzah, because you can't have bread.
Oh, my God, you're right. I am problematic. Cancel me.
You're canceled. I can't come to anyone's Passover.
I know.
I atone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. By the way, we had matzah from, what are they called? You know, one of those trucks that's like, they're like mitzvah trucks?
Yeah.
Mitzvah tanks.
I've never gotten matzah from them. I just see them driving around, like Washington Square Park.
Yeah, so I had to take home one of them because I'm pretty sure my, like, cousin picked one up. Like, she went and, like, they were giving them out. And then so they were fine, but I just never had a mitzvah take matzah boxed. I probably can find it and take a picture of it. But
oh, yeah, please do. That's special.
You know, like, traditions, they're there to create a structure. But it's always good to, you know, remix it. I know you said that your uncle... Or was it your uncle or was it your...
Yeah, so I think one of the most memorable... I think what would make especially this Passover so special to me is that my uncle in particular had this big smile on his face, and he complimented how the Seder went so many times. He documented the Haggadah because there were parts of it. He just... Yeah, like, I think it was so refreshing. I think that he saw a different take on something that he had always done. You know, normally, a lot of our Seders have been at his house, and he was the one really leading it, you know, along with my aunt and, like, their family. So that was a big compliment to me. Just someone, I guess, you know, from the older generation who was just so proud of, like, this thing that, you know, that I worked together, you know, with my sister and my mom and forming the Haggadahs and all that. But, yeah, I just felt really happy to have made him proud in particular. That was awesome.
I'm really glad that people took away that from it and, like, the opportunity and be like, we need to pass it on to a new generation. And, you know, it probably can go back to, maybe you guys can team up next year. And that'd be cool because, like, I mean, mixing new with, like, you know, traditional elements of the Seder.
We love that.
Also, I had to include one more thing. before we close out. I'm new to New York. In Seattle, my dad would lead the Seder, and you know, and that is hard, you know, to transition from that. And also my mom passed away, like that was a big thing. And so now that, like, I'm making new traditions finally with other parts of my family here. So I think that's, you know, the journey that I took. For me, it was a spiritual journey, but it also was just like realizing, like, oh, I'm like really glad that I am in New York City, like creating my own traditions and being where I am and appreciating the people I'm around. You know, we're not perfect, but we're making an effort to create a Seder and feel like home, you know, after being lost in the desert in New York subways.
Amen.
Original music composed by Marnie Loughman. You can find their original and covered music on TikTok, SoundCloud, and Instagram under the handle @singing_Jewess. Well, that's the episode. Hope everyone has enjoyed listening to our musings about past, present, and future Passovers. If we've piqued your curiosity and appetite for matzo ball soup for the wandering Jewish soul, we invite you to follow us wherever you enjoy your podcasting. And if there's any specific topics you're interested in hearing us talk about, or special guests you want us to have on the pod, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to DM us via Instagram @houseofneshama, or drop us an email at neshama.interact@gmail.com. On another note, something to look out for, we have a new newsletter. We're really excited to release it. It's short and sweet love letters from us to you about our favorite Jewish things. So you can subscribe via Linktree. We're excited to see you soon.